Well, some people say that any publicity is good publicity, and controversy for a game is going to expose it to more people. I'm not sure this is the case, and it was perfectly explained by Steve Corica. It was a breakdown in communication that has seen Mark Bosnich, who's very passionate about the VAR. We had Phil Moss, our football expert, being very passionate about the VAR last week, but I think on this occasion, Mossy, it's been a case of a lack of communication or a breakdown in the process that's seen everyone go over the top, including Marcus Babbel, for a penalty that what we believe now is just. Good morning, mate. Offside.
Yes, good morning, Jimmy. Good morning, Ray. Look, there's unfortunately, it's ruling the airwaves. It's ruling the column inches, this VAR issue. But last night, last week in the Melbourne derby, I thought the decision was wrong.
Right.
Fornaroli went to ground. It should never have been a penalty. Last night, the decision was right. It was an offside player, Josh Sotirio, interfering with Michael Zullo coming back from an offside position.
Yep.
By the letter of the law, the ruling last night was 100% correct.
Right. So where's the problem?
The problem is the process. The problem is the time it's taking. Football is a game that needs momentum. It needs its flow. Mm. It's ebb and its flow. And the time it's taking between having it assessed, the referee listening in the ear, the referee showing the square, the referee running to halfway to look at a monitor, the referee running back on the field to say a decision's now been made, it's totally against the spirit of our game when it comes to momentum and the excitement that disrupts the flow of the game, as I said.
Well, Phil, it sounds like you think the VAR has a place in the game, so how do you fix it?
Yeah.
Well, I think the process just has to be a lot smoother and you know, I don't like comparing codes, but at least in rugby league, and I know that's got its issues as well, at least the referee, when he's unsure of a decision, goes to the video referee. Then they go to the bunker and they say, we have a decision, bang, there it is, right? Yep. For right or for wrong. But it takes a lot less time than it's taking in our game. Mm. And there's a lot more stoppages in rugby league than there is in football.
Right.
So you can afford more time in rugby league than you can in football.
And don't worry, the rugby league people, and me included, hate the stoppages that we get with the bunker. And you're saying it's even more pronounced in football.
Yeah, look, I really do. I think the process is completely wrong. And I've said for a long time now, I think there is a place in football for technology because it's there. So why wouldn't you use it for the big decisions? But last night, if the referee, Beith, didn't even see that incident, which he says he didn't. It was all VAR last night with the Sotirio Zullo incident. And I was at the ground, and I was on that side of the ground, and we in the box didn't even really see it.
Right.
So if the goal had been allowed, everyone would have gone, Zullo and Broski were blowing up. But everyone in the stadium would have gone, oh, it's a goal.
Yeah, it's a goal.
Phil,
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. Phil, I don't want to labour the point, just quickly. So would you prefer to see a bunker-style system brought in so the ref doesn't have to run off the field and view things and go back on?
Yeah, I would, Ray. I think that is a big part. I think there's two problems. The first is that the video referee has the ability to get in the ear of the referee if they think there's something wrong. I think it should be the referee making all the decisions, and if he's got a doubt in his mind over a decision, he goes upstairs. Mm. Yeah. And the people upstairs make a decision, come back to him, say, this is our decision. You've asked for help, there it is.
Adelaide United 1-1 with Newcastle Jets on Friday, and the other game yesterday, controversy as well, Mariners 1-1 with Melbourne City, but again, VAR rearing its, not ugly head, but it is on this occasion.
Yeah, that's right. And again, that decision between Khalifa Cisse and Bruno Fornaroli, a tangle just inside the edge of the box. I've seen them given, I've seen them not giving.
Right.
Bruno Fornaroli does get close to his defender all the time and holds on to feel the defender, if you like, a term that we use in football. And so, you know, it's six or one, half a dozen, that one for me. But again, the process, it's the process that gets people saying it's controversial, not so much the decision all the time. So that needs to be cleaned up. But yeah, look, unfortunate for the Mariners because Ross McCormack scored in the 21st minute against his former club, Melbourne City. And it looked like the Mariners were probably going to hold on until Dario Vidicic came off the bench around the 75th minute, scored in the 84th. It was a scrappy goal that trickled across the line. But the points shared up there at Central Coast Stadium.
Usain Bolt experiment Phil, I know you had some strong views a couple of months ago. Is it over, mate?
I think it is. And I think it's interesting one, Ray. I think it's come to the... If he does walk away, I think it's the right conclusion for the A-League, because I've said all along he's not good enough as a footballer. Mm. Where I have a big, big question mark is if he was that desperate to be a professional footballer, he should have snapped the Mariners' hand off for a minimum wage contract just to have the opportunity. He doesn't need the money, you know, albeit for me to talk about his private financial affairs. But if he's that desperate for the dream of becoming a professional footballer and the Mariners have put a... tabled an offer of $100,000, which I actually think is overs for his ability and
for his football playing.
For his football, purely as a footballer, I think that's overs. He should have been saying, "I will play for minimum wage." There's been other players that have done it, players who have played all their lives.
Should there be a marketing component to it? The FFA come in and say, "Look, okay, football wise, you're getting paid this, but we recognise what you bring to our sport, so we're going to top you up to the tune of $500,000.
I think it should be a back end. Here we go, back ended. You've been talking about that this week.
Des Hasler, you've been spending too many hours on the northern beaches.
I was with Sean Penn last night, and I congratulated him on Desi's appointment. I think
Sean Penn? You were with Sean Penn?
Where am I going?
Are you going? What a great actor.
Well, he's good looking enough to be Sean Penn. But
times at Ridgemont High.
Sorry, Scott, if you're listening. It was good to catch up last night. But, look, going back to your original question, Jimmy, I think, I honestly believe that Usain Bolt has to prove himself, and he hasn't. So if he was to sign a contract as a footballer, he becomes another player in the A-League to prove himself this season. If things go well and he earns a second year, then you can start to look at marketing components, and there can be maybe FFA have had time under the new board to assess a very extraordinary marketing contract because of the circumstances.
Yeah, and just I just want to jump in here. We're going overseas now, Raymond. I don't want to talk EPL. I'd love to talk Serie A. Well done, Cristiano Ronaldo. A couple for Juventus.
Don't worry, Phil. I'll bring it back.
I know you will, Ray.
Liverpool Radio. Liverpool AM.
You've got my back, mate.
Absolutely.
Yeah, look, let's go, Ronaldo. Just to start with, it looks like he's got his mojo in Italian football.
Yeah.
And look, every player, even the greatest players in the world, take time to settle in. He looks like he's done that now. Two goals to bring Juve back from behind against Empoli to win the game 2-1. Open up a nice little lead at the top of the Serie A. But Napoli haven't played yet. But even if they win, they can't catch Juve this week.
And Phil, talk about opening up a nice little lead. The good guys won 4-1 overnight and after 10 games. James, guess who's on top of the EPL?
Oh, here we go.
Liverpool. And guess what, Ray? Let's go straight to the headline. Mo Salah, who's been ridiculed all season because he hasn't been finding the form of last season, is back and back with
a
vengeance.
Big way.
Fantastic finish overnight. And, you know, he's scored now, I think that's three games, including Champions League on the trot.
In a row now, I think.
And just finding, really just starting to find his sharpness and his composure in front of goal again. And that augurs very well. When you look at him scoring, Mane scoring two, Firmino scoring midweek, Napoli and PSG drawing in the Champions League. So Liverpool are top of their group. Gee, things are looking good if you're Jurgen Klopp.
Oh, right.
Not looking so great if you're Jimmy Smith.
No. Well, that can be said about a lot of things. But
and
anyway.
Spurs will beat Manchester City on Tuesday morning. So Liverpool stay top after match day 10.
Man United surely get
love
home
your
over
work, Phil.
Everton. Man United get home over Everton.
I hope so, because they're in my multi. So, look, for that reason and that reason alone, Jimmy, I do hope that Jose Mourinho gets the points this week. But, look, it's... the week that was, Jimmy. You're a Manchester United fan. I'm not. But I would still like to see the right fit at Manchester United, because the Premier League and the Champions League need them to be firing for the sake of the product. And
such a huge club.
Yeah, it really is. Mm. And it's just wrong. Like Eric Cantona came out during the week and said Mourinho is just not the right fit for Manchester United.
Who hasn't had a say? A former Manchester United great.
Have you had your say?
No. It's Paul Scholes. He's kept pretty quiet. Paul
Scholes. No, Scholes, he had a say.
Scholes,
yeah,
he
came
say?
Out
okay.
a few weeks ago.
He scores
but,
goals. Paul Scholes.
Look, when Can... We're going to start singing.
Oh, I love him.
When Cantona comes out and says something like that, you know, it is time. And when,
all right,
you,
well,
when you concede...
So, Phil, Phil, is it time? When
who
does the
is
club
the
make
right
a call?
Fit? Yeah.
I, personally, I'd love to see a Zidane. I'd love to see Zidane go to Manchester United.
That's the biggest story in world sport. Oh,
that would be unbelievable. And look, there's a little bit of smoke there. There is a little bit of smoke. Okay. So
James is happy now.
Yeah.
Well, I was happy when Jose turned up because I thought, oh, he's fantastic as well.
But he was always turning up with a different style of football to what Manchester United was used to.
Right.
So it was kind of one of those. It was kind of
not the fit.
Yeah. Can we stop the rot? Basically, can we get some stability back? And it looked as though he was heading in the right direction last season, but then it's all gone third season Mourinho syndrome.
Well, we've got stability back too. Phil Moss joined us in the studio today, so that's a bit of a breakthrough there in our relationship, which is excellent. Mossy, thank you for that this morning.
I do have to say, Jimmy, no one told me that Ray was in Melbourne.
You've been isolated. One-on-one now. Look at this. A bit of shoulder to shoulder.
It's a phone. What Phil's saying, it's a phone next week. Is that right?
Well, mate, if I'd have known you weren't here, Ray, I'd probably be still tucked under the doona, mate. Oh,
probably with Ray. Fair dinkum, you.
Hey, come on. Come on.